Good morning and welcome to each of you. It's a blessing to be in the house of the Lord this morning and have been much blessed, and I trust that you have as well. Welcome to our visitors and each one of you. I've enjoyed the discussion, adult Sunday school class that surrounded the Holy Spirit, the work of the Spirit, and I trust that God's Spirit would again work this morning and be with us and guide what is said, that everything that is said would be from the Spirit of truth. And let's be open to His Spirit as it works in our heart. Feel that the message that God has laid on my heart is actually a continuation of the season that we just came through, and it might fall in between last Sunday and our Sunday school discussion of this morning. But last Sunday we celebrated Resurrection Sunday, which is known by our nation as Easter. And for the Christian, this is one of the most important experiences and maybe important seasons as we think of Christ's death and resurrection. More people go to church, I believe, on Easter Sunday than any other Sunday of the year. And I also think that more attention is given to Christ and Christianity. You know, last Sunday we gathered here and we sang, "Lift Your Glad Voices." The question for us this morning is, are you still lifting your glad voice? Last Sunday we reverently revered our risen Savior. Are you still in reverent awe of the Savior that died for your sins? Last Sunday we gratefully remembered Jesus' death as payment for our sins, especially here for the congregation at Mount Joy. We observed communion along with Easter celebrations. The question is, are you still grateful? I've entitled the message, Continuing with Our Savior. And I'd like for you to turn with me to John, last chapter in the book of John, John 21. And we're going to endeavor to learn some lessons from this account that would help us, I trust, to continue with our Savior. I sense in my own heart, in my own life, we can have these pinnacle experiences, such as Easter, communion, and we might purpose in our heart that I want to be true, I want to worship my Savior. And then we go about our daily living, and then what happens? Do we continue with our Savior? John 21, we're going to read 22 verses in this account. John 21, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. And when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, for all that were so many, yet was the net not broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. This account that we just read, the setting for it is on the Sea of Tiberias, as it says here in verse 1, Sea of Tiberias. This is also known as the Sea of Galilee. Might be a bit more familiar to us by that name. The name was changed because of honor to one of the Roman Caesars, Tiberius Caesar. But it is the Sea of Tiberias, Sea of Galilee. And I'm not sure what the disciples were doing this far away from Jerusalem. Obviously, if we turn back to chapter 20 previous, we know that a lot of the happenings that took place around the resurrection, Jesus' ascension, were around Jerusalem. But we have seven disciples that were at the Sea of Galilee. And Nathanael was with them. This would have been his hometown or close to it. Cana in Galilee was where Nathanael was from. So possibly some of the disciples were with him. We're not sure. But here we have seven men in a group standing on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. Now, what do you think they were doing? In verse 3, the next thing we read, after we read that there are seven men standing in a group on the Sea of Galilee, we read Simon Peter's comment. It's almost like we get the conclusion before we get the conversation. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. Now, what do you think inspired Peter to come up with that comment? Do you think they were having a conversation? It's something that we don't know, but we do know that the rest were in agreement with him. Peter said, I go fishing. And the rest said, we also go with thee. If I place myself in amongst those seven men, it would be very easy for me to be talking about what happened and now what are we going to do? We don't know for sure, but I have my suspicions that that's probably what it was. And if I placed myself there, that's what I would see happening. They were with Jesus the last 2-3 weeks. They had walked with Jesus in Jerusalem. They had saw him deal with the chaos in the temple. They had been together for the Last Supper. They had watched the capture and the crucifixion of their beloved leader. And here they were, these seven disciples together. And Peter says, I go a fishing. I'm wondering if they weren't looking ahead, looking back and looking ahead and trying to figure out, now what are we going to do? What will we do now? What's the future hold for us? What's going to happen to our lives? This morning, I would like for you to think about this in a spiritual sense. As I mentioned, we sometimes have what we call spiritual mountaintop experiences. And then we look ahead and we think things look just pretty normal and pretty bleak. Now what are we going to do? What will happen to us spiritually? Maybe you have been through some turbulent times. Maybe you have been through some very stressful times, maybe very busy times, like the disciples were. Now what? Now what was ahead for them? What should they do? Jesus was no longer there to tell them what to do. How are things going for you spiritually? Are you continuing in your commitment to follow Jesus? Do you think these disciples were going to continue to follow Jesus? How about you this morning? Where are you at in your spiritual journey with Jesus? Are you determined to continue forward with Jesus? I think there's some things in this story that we can look at that will help us to continue forward with Jesus, because I trust this morning as Christians that is the goal of each of our hearts. And I would like to just focus on a few of them for the remainder of the message. And the first one I see is in verse 3. We need to let go of the past to continue forward with Christ. And I would like to make that point out of Peter's response that I go fishing. And I'm not saying that this is the most important point this morning, but being it's the first one we come to, I think we're going to think about that for a little bit. We need to let go of the past to continue forward with Christ. One of the hardest things we deal with is the past. It's easier to fall back to the old than to support the new. So was it wrong for Peter to go fishing? And I'm not here this morning, and I'm not going to try to say that it was wrong for Peter to go fishing. Sometimes it can be, and I'm not going to talk about fishing as the subject of whether fishing is right or wrong. But Peter, we know he was a fisherman at heart and by trade. And that was his normal occupation before Jesus called him. And what I see happening for Peter, I see the tendency for that in my own life. We're faced with something new, but yet it's so easy for us to resort back to what we have been before. Maybe we're struggling with a habit. Maybe we're struggling with some type of a behavior, something in our life that we want to overcome through the power of Jesus. But yet it's so easy for us to fall back into that. Is that what was happening to Peter here? I go a fishing. That looked like the easiest thing to do at the moment. I go a fishing. I'm not sure what Peter and the other disciples were supposed to be doing at this time. And sometimes we don't really know. It may seem a little bit cloudy what we're supposed to be doing. And they knew that fishing was okay, so maybe we'll just go fishing. And we want to give them the benefit of the doubt for doing that. So we could say that doing the best you know in the moment is the right thing. And I think if we, in our heart, want to do what's right, God can lead us from that point. There is a verse in Matthew that says that the disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Now, was that supposed to be part of this trip? Where they were into Galilee, but they weren't in the mountain, they were at the lake. Now, if they would have been in the mountain where Jesus had appointed them to be, how easy is it to go fishing in a mountain? Again, there's a lot of details we don't know for sure. We know that we want to give them, Jesus does not condemn them for going fishing. We know that for certain. But the point I would like to make, and what we want to take away from this here this morning, is that it's so easy for us to fall back into what we were used to, especially when we are to be stepping out into new territory. And I believe that was Jesus' goal for these disciples, and that comes out in the end of the story when we get to that, that Jesus had work for these disciples to do, and they found it was easier to go fishing. So this morning, by God's power, and we know that it takes more than just the desire, it takes Jesus' power to overcome, and that is the most important factor with going forward with Christ. But let's remember that we still need to break away from the past to continue forward with Jesus. And that can be, there's a lot of practical things that we could share about that, and time does not permit that. But I want us to be alert to the fact that if we find ourselves settling into complacency, when we know that maybe we wanted to have better devotional life, maybe we wanted to be more vocal for what God has done for us, and we find it's so easy to settle into where we had been, let's remember that through the power of Jesus, we need to put forth the effort to step away from that lake, step away from that environment that is so easy to take us back to what we had been or where we had been before. Let's move on from that idea and look at verse 5. Here we have Jesus coming on the scene. It is no longer night, it is morning, and Jesus comes and he asks this question, "Children, have ye any meat?" Their answer to him was no. I would like to make this point from this verse, and that is continuing with Jesus requires us to come with nothing. We have that also highlighted in the end of verse 3 where it says that they caught nothing, and here Jesus comes and asks them about it, and they said, "We have nothing." It's hard for us to be nothing, and I want to be very careful with the way we talk about this, because we don't say that people are no good, we don't say that people have no potential, and we don't call people nothing. But there is a sense, especially, and this is in spiritual terms, where when we come before God, we have nothing. And I think we need to realize that, and especially in our society and even in our religious communities, because it is becoming very popular to put a lot of focus on who you are and who you can be, and also to have a strong sense of self-worth. And we know there's a balance to all that, and again, we're not going to go into all that, but what I'd like for you to think about is that before God, when we come to God, and when we walk with God, and moving forward with God, we need to realize that our core spiritual value in the presence of God is nothing. There is a spiritual nothingness. You know, these disciples, They did have some physical things. They had their boat, they had their net, they had themselves, they had their muscles. But yet, what did Jesus want? Jesus wanted fish, and they had no fish. And for God to work in our lives, for God to take us on with Him, we come with our physical beings, but spiritually, we have nothing to offer. If there would have been a few fish in that net, the focus would have been on those few fish. God wants our nothingness. It is through our nothingness that God can multiply. God doesn't need anything from us other than our nothingness. When nothing happens, it catches our attention. Nothingness is because of the absence of God. God is the only one who can create something of nothing. God receives glory when we have nothing. When we feel we have something, we claim part of the glory. And that's a fine line that we need to think about. When we come to God and we give Him our nothingness, and that's when He can multiply and make something out of it. Let's continue on with this story. Number three, continuing with Jesus requires following Jesus' way. And we find that in verse 6. He saith unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Look what happens when they come to Jesus with their nothingness. And this would be my encouragement for each of us, that we would come to Jesus with our nothingness, and then the next step is to follow Jesus' way. Their nets were filled to the brim. There was more than sufficient. Remember what happened. At the beginning of Jesus' walk on the earth, when He came to these men, when He first met these men, approximately 3 years ago, when He first met these men, it was on the seashore as well. And at that point, they were mending their nets. They were trying to make something out of what they had because they were endeavoring to catch fish. Here, Jesus comes to them, and they have empty nets. There's nothing in them. And what does Jesus do? He tells them what they needed to do to fill their nets. And when the nets were full, they did not need to be mended. They held what Jesus put in them. And this morning, if we want to continue forward with Jesus, we need to follow Jesus' way. We can come up with a good way of living, but it's more than that. We need to follow and live Jesus' way. We can come up with solutions for our problems, but still we need to follow Jesus' way. We can try to mend our nets, and we can try to put together something to catch fish and to hold fish, but it's not Jesus' way. What we want is Jesus' way, and to continue forward, we need to follow Jesus' way. Jesus' way will bring more than sufficient into your net. And I cannot promise that to you physically, but spiritually we know that that's what Jesus will do. When we cast our net, because Jesus tells us that's what He wants us to do, He will fill it spiritually. Number four, continuing with Jesus requires recognizing who Jesus is. Verse 7, we have John. He said, it is the Lord. And this might tie somewhat with the last point of following Jesus' way. But in our lives, in our journey through life, do we recognize Jesus in our daily lives? If we want to continue forward with Jesus, do we continue? Do we see His working in our lives? Maybe These disciples, I'm not sure why they didn't recognize who Jesus was. It was John, obviously, that did first. It says, "It is the Lord." It might have been the dim light of morning they couldn't see. Maybe they were so busy struggling with this huge catch of fish. Maybe they were preoccupied still with the idea of what's going to happen with their lives. Now what's going to happen? Maybe they were tired and half asleep because they had been up all night fishing. How is it for you today in your spiritual lives? Are you preoccupied with living life? Are you so busy with the struggle to fish? Maybe your spiritual light is dim. Do you recognize who Jesus is? Every morning, every afternoon, every evening, every minute of your day, are you alert to Jesus working in your heart? I think it's an important thing. If we want to continue forward with Jesus, we need to recognize who Jesus is. That again, each day that we live, we see Jesus, we hear his voice, and we recognize what he is doing and what he wants to do in our lives, where he wants to take us, how he wants to refine us, and what he wants to do for us. I'm thankful this morning that we do not need to go this way alone. And number five, continuing with Jesus takes supporting each other. Here we have these disciples, and they, God had prospered their fishing effort, and the net is full of fish, and now what are they going to do? And I think this is a wonderful example for us as Christians. We are together. The heart that I feel among us is that we want to continue forward with Jesus. We do not need to go it alone. The net was full of fish. How are they going to get it to land? Peter, he jumps out and he swims to shore. And he leaves his poor fishermen by themselves. But they come on, and yet Peter, he still helps out in his own way at his own time. A little later on, he finishes helping them get it to shore. And I think that's a picture of each of us on our journey with Jesus, that we need each other, supporting each other, helping each other, encouraging each other. Not one of us can do it on our own. And especially when even living out Jesus' instructions, we need each other, and we need each other's help to know how to make the Word of God and Jesus' instructions, to make them practical and to live them out. We need the help of each one and the counsel of each one, and I'm so grateful this morning that we have each other, that we can share together. The rest of this story, and we will jump down now. Jesus said, "Come and dine," and after they had their breakfast together on the Sea of Galilee, we move down to verse 15. And then we have the rest of the story here that we read is a personal conversation between Jesus and Peter. We love the net full of fish and what that looks like to us spiritually, where God blesses us and the net is full to breaking. We have so much that we can't contain it. It's all there. But what's the next step? Continuing with Jesus requires surrendering to his purposes. Jesus wants us to use all that he has given to us for his purposes and for his kingdom. Are we ready to do that? We like to stop with that net full of fish, and that's a pretty comfortable place to be. And I would think that Peter and the disciples were at this point feeling pretty comfortable. They had been out working hard all night, and they had this good reward for their labor. But Jesus takes it on to the next step. And sometimes that's where it can get difficult for us. And it was a struggle for Peter. We have this conversation now between Peter and Jesus. And Jesus asks the question three times. And our English language does not do justice to the conversation here. There's two things that do not come through in the English. And I don't know Greek to be able to share them with you. But when Jesus asked Simon Peter, he says, "Lovest thou me more than these?" And Peter responds with, "Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." What is happening here is the degree of love that Jesus asks is a whole lot larger than when Peter responds back. In our English language, it's both the word love, but if you look into the Greek, it's actually two different words. And the word that Jesus is using would be similar to what we would find in Ephesians 2:4, where it talks about, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us," the sacrificial love, that's the love that Jesus is asking Peter whether he had a love strong enough to die for the cause. And Peter responds again with the word love, but this love in the Greek is really just a friendship love, a love for a place or an object or a person. It's not the great extent that Jesus was asking for. And so we find Jesus asking it again, the same question. And not only the second time, but then also the third time. It's interesting to note, and again here we're not familiar with the Eastern customs, but I'm told that when you repeat a matter three times in the presence of witnesses, that it would convey a solemn obligation. And I'm not sure if that's why Jesus was asking him three times, or whether it was because Peter had denied Jesus three times. But there was something about the three times that made this an obligation. And the challenge for us, and I think the takeaway for each of us this morning, is how committed are you to kingdom work? If you want to move forward with Jesus, how committed are you to doing that? Are you willing? Are you willing, as Jesus was asking the first two times, all the way to death? Or is it just good enough, more on a friendship level? How committed are you to continuing with Jesus and to help out in the kingdom work? The last point I'd like to make this morning is continuing with Jesus requires a heart solely dedicated to following him. And maybe that's what we have been saying, but I would like to just add an extra comment to that. And we find that in verse 22. Jesus saith unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." And that's Jesus' answer to Peter's question in verse 21, where it says, He says, Lord, and what shall this man do? I'm not sure how you find it, but this can come into our spiritual lives as well. We tend to judge ourselves by what other people are doing. Maybe we see people stumbling and struggling, and we think in our heart that, well, you know, doing better than that. Or it could be the other way also. We just feel like we're just not measuring up. And we're just not good enough. Going by what Jesus has said here, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. I believe those words are for us this morning as well. Peter was concerned about what was going to happen to John. And that might be a legitimate concern based on the circumstances, but in this scripture, in these verses, Jesus was talking personally to Peter. And this morning, Jesus is talking personally to each one of us. And Jesus wants us, he wants our heart. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. You know, we can be influenced by other people. We can be influenced by our carnal nature. It's hard. It's hard to stand against what's wrong. It's hard to stand up for what is right. Peter found that out. Are we willing to do that? Or we can be influenced. I said we can be influenced by other people. We can be influenced by our carnal nature. Or we can be influenced by the desire to follow truth. And I pray that's our desire, each one of us this morning. Rather than what people think or what other people are doing, if your heart and your desire is to continue with truth, that's what Jesus wants from you. I'm thankful this morning that we know that Peter, he got to the point in the book of Acts, it says, we ought to obey God rather than men. We see a growth in his life where he was willing to stand even till death. We know that Peter died for his faith. And that is a challenge, I believe, for each of us this morning as well. So, again, I'm not sure where you find yourself in your relationship with God and how things are going for you. Do you find it easy to slide along? Do you find it easy to become complacent? If you look back at what was yesterday and you think about where you're at today, maybe look back at last year and where you're at today. Where's that going to put you tomorrow? Are you continuing with Jesus? And I know it's a daily struggle, and not every day is the same, but I believe in our heart, our desire needs to be faithful with Jesus and to continue on with him. And I trust that is your desire as well this morning.